Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
We want to encourage you to contact us and let us know you're out there listening to this exciting broadcast.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, Victory in Living at AOL.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries. Again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.
So let your families and friends know about this exciting series and when to tune in.
Remember, Pam, we're available also for weekend services. We know that we are anointed in the Word of God, and we will bring you great music for such a time as this. We'd love to come and share with any group, large or small.
Have you got your songs ready?
I sure do. We're going to sing a song that we heard Homer Belcher years ago sing, and I was just a young guy in 1960-something. The Lord just called me to preach, and I was looking for ministry, and God gave me a record that he had made, and it was one song on there I really liked. It was called "I'm in a New World." So I'm going to sing that for you at this time. The Lord has been so good to me. He set my captive spirit free. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. He opened up my blinded eyes, and now I've got a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, he opened up my blinded eyes, and now I've got a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. While traveling down that sinful road, I had no friend to share my load. I wander here and there, yet no one seemed to care. But when I knelt that night to pray, I stepped into a brand new day. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, he opened up my blinded eyes, and now I've got a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I can't explain the way I feel. There's not a doubt, I know it's real. There's glory in my soul. The hallelujahs roll. Though earthly friends may turn me down, I'll still retain the peace I found. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, he opened up my blinded eyes, and now I've got a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me.
Amen, Ray. You know, that's scriptural because it does say that when we come to know Christ, that we are new creatures. In him, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Well, let's get into the Word. Ray, what have we learned so far?
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Number one, we have learned that everyone has a divine destiny. The meaning of destiny is the design, the goal, the intent, and the intention or the objective of our lives.
And the second thing we learned is that we have to leave the past behind, which led us to the third lesson, where we learned that we need to get acquainted with God.
Pam, we have to get acquainted with God before we can discover our divine destiny. This is what you, in our fourth lesson. And after we get acquainted with God, we have to tend to His Word. In the fifth lesson, we learned that we have to read the Word, pray, and then be quiet and listen to God.
And if we do this, then we learn to be led by the Spirit of God, which we covered in lesson six. And in being led by the Spirit of God, we find that when we find out what the Word of God has to say, that we practice it, we do it, and we live it. And Ray, I'm not talking about 10 years down the road. I'm talking about an immediate obedience.
In lesson seven, we've learned about two things that can hinder our faith and prayers. Number one is unforgiveness is the reason why many people do not fulfill their divine destiny. And then holding grudges is the other thing that can be such a hindrance. Most people don't want to talk about these two things, but they can sure affect your spirit. It's just like a clogged up artery that can affect your body. The best thing to do is get rid of the unforgiveness and grudges and follow hard after the Lord and His plan and purposes for your life.
Whoa, Ray, we don't have time for both of us to preach. But you're right, it is our choice whether we hold a grudge or whether we're going to forgive, just as it is our choice to speak faith words, positive words, or failure words, negative words. Of course, our God is faithful, and He didn't leave us without help to be able to forgive. The help is the Holy Spirit and love. You know, the Scripture says, faith worketh by love, Galatians 5:6. We have to understand that without forgiveness, it is impossible to make your faith work, and you need your faith to fulfill your destiny. Remember that true forgiveness is acting like the sin or the offense never happened.
Well, Pam, it's only getting better. We talked about taking back what the devil stole in lesson 8. It is time we go from the defensive to get on the offensive. It's time we take our future by force. You see, we have every right to get excited because we have 32,000 promises, and most of them have the word hath in them, which means they have already been accomplished. And we have to reach out in faith and take what belongs to us.
You're right. Remember that the word receive in Mark 11:24 could have been translated take with force or seize with a grip that cannot be shaken loose. It was finished that day some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ Himself, suspended between heaven and earth on that old rugged cross, said, "It is finished." Yes, He died, went into the pits of hell, but He conquered the enemy. Hallelujah! He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He ascended to heaven, and now He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He purchased all there is in life and godliness, and He has given it to the church.
So all we have to do, Pam, is know who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and reach up and take what belongs to us. So we know for a truth that faith rejoices at the moment of taking. After faith takes, faith never turns loose. And because faith never turns loose, it leads to success by the power of God. Once we know this, then we understand that faith is not an act of the will of man, but it's an acting on God's word.
Amen. Well, last week, we began to look at the formula to build strong faith for whatever you need from God. And the formula is as follows. First, you need to build strong faith. You have to surround yourself with that which produces faith.
Second, you have to build on the Word of God, not experience.
Third, we must look to the Word of God, not someone's personality.
And fourth, remember, obedience is necessary.
And fifth, to build strong faith, you must have humility.
And sixth, you must have holy boldness.
Well, Ray, in Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now notice, every Christian has received the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. And the important thing is it's up to you what you will do with your measure of faith. And what you do determines whether or not you grow in faith. You know, some people refuse to get out of the negative atmospheres and find that they have a hard time staying spiritually alive.
Pam, let's look at God's Word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So if we are going to nurture our faith into something that will bring results, we must surround ourselves with successful people of God, not with naysayers. We must feed our minds and spirits of material that will build faith, not destroy it. So my challenge to the radio audience is to read your Bible, listen to good Christian broadcasting and teaching tapes more than you do secular entertainments. Now we must remember God expects us to have some leisure time, but we have to put God first. The faith walk has got to be balanced. Jesus grew in all the areas of life, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and socially. We can learn to have God in all areas of our lives so that we are a well-balanced Christian.
Ray, I want to make a point here, and that is that if you want to have strong faith, you cannot live in the negative. Have you ever met people that always have a negative report? These people are the ones that have a form of godliness, but no supernatural power. They will drain you like a battery, and you won't be able to get yourself started, much less help anyone else. You know, there was a song we used to sing, "Whose report will you believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord."
Did you know that you cannot lock God and the Holy Spirit in a box? Don't try to make people receive the way you feel they should or the way you did. Even Jesus didn't build on experience, but he taught the Word. When he withstood Satan's temptations, he kept saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written."
That's right. And have you ever heard the term charisma?
Yep.
Ever seen people flock after someone who supposedly had charisma?
Yep.
Well, if we're going to have strong faith to receive from God, we're going to have to stand on the Word, not on someone's personality.
Hey, that's good, Pam.
Well, you know, the Scripture said, Psalms 107:20, "He sent His Word, and He healed them and delivered them from their destruction." And so it's important that we know what the Word of God says, so that when symptoms come, financial peril arises, or disaster strikes, that we're ready to compete in the arena of faith. People, if you know what God's Word says, every time Satan starts to take a swing at you, you can say, "It is written," and block it. Then when he comes with another weapon, you can say, "It is written," and that same shield of faith is lifted, blocking all the enemy's darts.
But Pam, knowing what the Word of God says won't be enough if you're not walking in the light of the Word. You must also be obedient. Know what God's Word says. Do it. Do it. 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments, and we do things that are pleasing in His sight." John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you."
Right. Notice here, 1 John says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. But we can't keep his commandments, however, unless we know what the Word of God says, or in other words, unless his Word abides in us. 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." Ray, how are we confident?
We are confident in our hearts. They don't condemn us. We have confidence toward God that He will do exactly what He has said. God does not require us to walk in the light of some archangel. God does not require us to walk in the light of some man's doctrine. You see, God don't even require you to walk within the light of a denomination. But God does require us to walk in the light of the eternal word of God in obedience. For this brings confidence and knowing that what God said he'll perform, for he will do.
You're absolutely right, Ray. If we don't continuously do what is right in the sight of God and do not live the way we should, there is no way we can have confidence that God is going to give us what he said we could have. It's not that he won't, he can't, because we're not walking in line with his word. Now, there is a right way to live in line with God's word. It doesn't have to do with a set of rules, do's and don'ts. It is obedience to the word of God and to his spirit. When we are obedient, we have the right to claim what is ours as children of God.
You talked about obedience. What about humility?
Oh, no, not the H word.
Hey, that's right, the H word, humility. Most people who think they have humility, they become prideful and are puffed up. The disciples were, look at Luke 9 and 40, where a child was brought to them. They couldn't even cast the tough, stubborn, unclean spirit out of him. Just Jesus explained to disciples that this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. Their problem was they lacked humility and discipline.
Ouch, Ray, you're talking rough now.
Hey, they couldn't even understand Christ's imminent death on the cross. They were looking for him to set up a kingdom on earth then and there. And if you read further in Luke, you'll find that they even begin to discuss their own importance in the kingdom. Notice in the following verses, they didn't want anyone else moving in faith if they couldn't. They had become sectarian. But notice what Jesus said, Luke 9, 49 through 50. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he didn't follow us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.
Kind of sounds like today. Let's look a little further. Verses 52 through 56 reads, And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, even today, some people think that they have a monopoly on the gifts of God. The devil has used this kind of thinking to destroy, divide, and split apart the real move of the power of God. There is one thing for sure. We need to be humble before God. And I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm talking about realizing that we would not be where we are today without the grace and love of God.
Saying you're children of God is vastly different from sticking your thumbs under your lapels and boasting, Bless God, I'm a man of faith and power. If you're taking any medicine or go to any doctor, you're sinning. You're not believing God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Yes. There is a better way than going to a doctor and taking medicine, but you're not sinning if you do these things. You can believe God and go to a doctor. Another point to be made here is, how many more people would be free today if someone hadn't stood on their soapbox and said, Hey, don't have anything to do with those people over there because they don't wear our denominational hat. You know, we might be surprised when we get to heaven and find some of those people right there next door to us, because if they have accepted Jesus Christ and they live in a godly life, they're just as saved as you and I.
Amen. You know, and there's no monopoly on the power of God, Ray. One group does not have it monopolized. And I can tell you what group does not have it monopolized. I can tell you a group that has it monopolized. The group of the blood-bought, born-again Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about the church called in the Greek ecclesia, the called out ones. Equally important in the formula for building strong faith is having holy boldness. Many born-again believers need this holy boldness. People are afraid of the devil. They would rather hide from him than stand against him. But we're going to have to be able to boldly claim what belongs to you in the name of El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough.
Listen, you're going to have to be willing to stand. You're going to have to look the devil square in the eye and say, "You hoodwinked at me and fooled me for the last time. Either get out of the way or get ready to get run over." He doesn't want any part of a believer who knows who he is in Christ because, see, Jesus has already defeated Satan. He knows that an informed Christian is going to start speaking the word with his mouth. And every time those words come out of his mouth, it's like someone is hitting him with a whip. He doesn't want any part of a believer who knows his place in Christ.
And I want to tell all of you people listening, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a right to be bold about our position. We must learn to walk in that position. We must learn to walk in that boldness, even when we're hurting, proclaiming God's word.
That's right. Boldly taking whatever you need from God. Boldly proclaim it. Grab hold of it with the tenacity of a bulldog that grabs hold of a bone and won't turn loose. Boldly, authoritatively proclaiming your deliverance in the areas of finances and healing and habits or whatever the words spoken by your mouth, they are a creative force. You see, it's your mouth that will turn the power of God loose for you as you speak His word.
We've got to boldly begin to proclaim what is yours according to the word of God. Think of a scripture that covers your particular situation. Stand on that scripture. Boldly proclaim and quote that scripture.
You see, if you need finances, you've got to boldly proclaim to ministering angels to cause finances to come to you. Boldly say, and say it loud, "Devil, take your hands off my finances." You have no authority. You have no right.
You know, Ray, I think you can do that a little more boldly.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
All right. Okay. We're going to go over this again. You see, you've got to speak it. "Devil, take your hands off my finances. You have no authority. You have no right."
Now I think maybe he'd believe you. Or, you know, even if they need deliverance from a habit, they need to begin to command that you are free according to the word of God, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. The greater one has delivered you and set you free. Right now you're going to record that you have already been delivered, and you're proclaiming that deliverance now. Be bold. Put your voice to it.
Be authoritative in the way you deal with the devil. As long as you are mealy-mouthed, he's going to keep on hanging around doing what he's been doing. But if you open your mouth and speak with authority, backed by the word of God, he's going to turn and run. Because the word of God says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4:7. You see, get what belongs to you.
Okay, Ray. So let's do a confession. Can you do it with boldness?
All right.
Can you do it with boldness?
Yes, I can.
You repeat, representing those who are listening. You there in radio land, go ahead and repeat this with Ray. It is done.
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 Because Jesus' word said it.
Because Jesus' word says it.
I will not be moved by what I feel.
I will not be moved by what I feel.
I will not be moved by what I see.
I will not be moved by what I see.
I will only be moved by what God's word says.
I will only be moved by what God's word says.
I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
And I am free in Christ.
I am free in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Ray has another good song that goes right along with what we've been teaching. Are you ready, Ray?
Okay, we're going to do a little song that me and a buddy of mine used to do years ago. It's just called "I Want to Tell Everybody What the Lord's Done for Me." Well, the preacher was a-preaching how the Lord could set you free. He said, "Come on and pray, you sinner," and he pointed his finger at me. So I ran down to the altar
and the tears begin to roll. And I know the very moment that Jesus saved my soul. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. I want to tell everybody how He saved and He set me free. Well, I said to myself, I'm going to keep it quiet, but I told it all day. I told it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. Well, I got up from that old altar. Well, I was feeling light as air. You know, I didn't even have a worry. I didn't even have a care. Well, I felt the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord within. And I know the very moment that the love of God came in. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me. I want to tell everybody how He saved and He set me free. Well, I said to myself, I'm going to keep it quiet, but I told it all day. I told it all night. I want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me.
Amen.
And I believe that's what we need to do, is just beat up on the devil, don't you, Ray?
Amen. Just keep on keeping on. Don't give up.
And what would you like to tell them for the next coming week?
The next coming week, we're going to do something real special. We're going to do something real big.
How big?
Real, real big.
How is real, real big, big?
It's going to be bigger than big.
And that's why that we're living in the year of overflow.
Overflow. That is big, isn't it? Amen. So get ready.
That's
Start.
Fuller than full, right?
That's right. It's going to run over.
Amen.
Amen. We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
But I told it all day. I told it all night. I won't tell everybody what the Lord has done for me.
Write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries, again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.